Balance of Nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I just had a baby and I'm tired, but I could tell you this, without Balance of Nature, there's no way I would have the energy I have right now. I've done so many different multivitamins and different things, and I have to definitely say Balance of Nature is the thing that's really, really helping me right now. I've been listening to these commercials and these testimonials, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But this is a product that I actually could say, holy cow, I see results.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. Again, that's balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Arch One Eyebrow and ask, is that so? The Kate Daly Show starts now.
And we have a breaking news story to tell you about. Apparently, a plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center here in New York City. It happened just a few moments ago, apparently. We have very little information available at this point in time.
This is the other tower, ladies and gentlemen. Another explosion at tower number 2 of the World Trade Center just happened live on our air.
No, it wasn't in the commercial airline. No, second one. The first one I never saw. The second one I saw was big, yeah. But it didn't have any markings on it that I saw.
No, I didn't see any. The second one, it didn't have like no camouflage or anything.
No emblems, no logos.
I mean, it was moving so unbelievably fast. The last thing I saw before the second attack was the silver underside of the plane before it went into the building.
The plane wasn't no airline or anything. It was a twin-engine, big, gray plane.
Mark, were you close enough to be able to see any markings on the airplane?
It definitely did not look like a commercial plane. I didn't see any windows on the side.
No, it was a black plane. It looked like a fighter jet.
It looked like a fighter jet.
It was a military plane.
And it didn't look like a commercial jet.
Could be a drone aircraft. That's an aircraft that's guided electronically to its target without having a pilot.
Did you actually see the jet itself?
Yeah.
And what type was it?
It was gray, to be honest with you. It was gray. It was like a 737.
I thought it was a fighter jet coming into cover the city.
We've heard reports of secondary explosions after the aircraft impacted, whether in fact there wasn't something else at the base of the towers.
In the lobby looked as though a bomb had exploded there. All the glass was taken out. There were 10-foot by 10-foot marble panels that were once walls. Several people with their hair singed, skin hanging off.
And at that time, we heard a huge explosion.
This was clearly, the way the structure is collapsing, this was the result of something that was planned. It's not accidental that the first tower just happened to collapse and then the second tower just happened to collapse in exactly the same way. How they accomplished this, we don't know.
Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So happy to have you today. Special 9/11 episode because... It's just an interesting show today. I had Alan Stevo in the last hour. And then, of course, I'm following up and ending this show today with Rebecca Roth, who wrote Methodical Illusion, who, believe me, I had Rebecca on years ago, and she blew people's minds. I mean, I am still getting emails about that interview, and I played it on rerun when I'm gone on vacation. And let me just tell you, it wakes a lot of people up, and I'm really grateful for her efforts in writing this. She wrote this from a flight attendant's point of view. You started unraveling this ball of yarn, Rebecca, and I remember you saying that one of the first things that hit you about 9/11 and this wake-up call, because right now, COVID-19 is another 9/11 event. We're just not recognizing it and what's going on because things are being put into place right now while we're all being told to fear. And I'm telling you, there's so much correlation that we need to pay attention to that. But I remember you saying that when you realized that the people that they said perished in the planes that were the hijackers weren't actually dead, you went, wait a minute, hold the presses. And you started looking into it. Was that right? Did I have that recollection right?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. I've started to find some of the hijackers were still alive. Yeah. So I moved from there.
Oh, boy. And what a... You're on your fifth book right now of this series. That's amazing. Are people just still coming out of the woodwork to tell the stories?
Well, yeah, they are. It was amazing. You know, with my first book, I did an interview with George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM.
Yes.
And after that... And then that goes on to their YouTube channel or whatever, mm-hmm. their social media and stuff. And after that, I started getting notified by pilots and flight attendants, air traffic controllers, wow. people that saw things that were in New York or at the Pentagon, retired first responders that had held back this information for years, and military intelligence guys that were inside the Pentagon. People from all over, including retired FBI people that actually, you ready for this? Keep your seatbelt mm-hmm. fastened, that actually saw the four planes land.
Ooh, wow.
So, this information just kept coming to me. And so I know a lot of people like, please write this in a nonfiction. I said, that'll be my death sentence. Mm-hmm. I chose to write him as, fiction, and looking back now, hindsight's 2020. Mm-hmm, here we are mm-hmm. in the year 2020.
Sure.
I think that it's easier for people to digest that we were lied to, and it's getting easier now mm-hmm. after 4 years of President Trump, and we've seen the Russia hoax,
yes,
and the Ukrainian phone call mm-hmm. hoax, mm-hmm. and the way they twist everything. Even everything about COVID. I watched all the task force meetings, and I never, ever heard him say anything about taking in bleach or drinking Clorox.
Right.
Where do they get
just
this?
Straight
it's just
up
a
lies.
Bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm
and
so with
so
you.
And so fake news didn't start with President Trump, but he has certainly shown it to us. So as I'm going back and I'm reading... And I go back and read all the old news articles. I've printed mm-hmm. tons of stuff because I don't want anything to leave the internet, because it does.
Right.
And it has. So I learned that right away, actually, from a CIA guy. I printed up, just printed hard copy, kind of boxes mm-hmm. of papers now.
I bet.
But because I just kept getting more and more information, I put out the first three books in like a year and a half. I just mm-hmm. I had massive amounts of information. The third book is about where the gold went, that the FEMA photographer found the vaults in the under the World Trade Center mm-hmm. Towers mm-hmm. emptied. And jeez. So and it's amazing how to me it's almost a miracle of God how people have found me, or they're like, oh my gosh. Well, this is what I know.
Oh
and now
gosh.
It all makes sense that this airplane was coming in with this gold and flying over restricted space and near Edwards. And I was like, whoa. So I made that third book is a gold cover, and it's a mm-hmm. puzzle with jeez. Light shining through to shine the light on the missing gold, basically. But I also learned how intelligence agencies and how intelligence operations work mm-hmm. and how the agencies all work together. All of them, whether it's Pakistani Assad, MI6, mm-hmm. Israeli Assad, it's always a multinational project
so
for something
true.
Along this line.
Well, look at how multinational COVID was instantly. Mm-hmm. Very, you know, people, it's very telling of the coordination attempts that are so international now. That's why I said right now, I said this on the show last week, we have the most evil government in all of history because it's so international and well coordinated. I mean, it's just insane how big it is and how nefarious it is. Insidious.
Well, that's true. And in the first book, if you'll remember, I know it's been, I put mm-hmm. that book out in 2014.
Jeez.
And 3 months later, I was on Coast to Coast AM, and that mm-hmm. was in the top 10 at Amazon. It was literally selling thousands of books an hour. So then everybody was emailing me, when's the next book coming? So
right.
I just got an instant following with that. But in that book, I talk about, or I don't, but Max Hager does the character, the New World Order. And remember mm-hmm. when George Bush Sr. told us, you know, this
yes.
nice thing about 1,000 points of light and the New World Order. And mm-hmm. he made it sound so warm and cozy. But what the New World Order really is global communism.
Yes, it is.
And so when you understand that, you can look at this a whole lot differently. And right now, it's unfortunate, but right now it appears that the Democrat Party in the United States of America is actually a communist party.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The communist party. Yeah. And so, and another thing that the New World Order basically is like exactly what Kennedy and Eisenhower warned us about, the military-industrial complex, and it too is global now.
Mm-hmm.
So that, because in order to have a global world order, you have to have everybody's economy depending on each other's. And then comes along Donald Trump saying, make America great.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the feeling that we had as a nation after World War II.
Right.
Is to rebuild us up and make, you know, we are the greatest nation. Trust me, I've been to almost every one of them.
Right.
And we are the greatest. It was always good mm-hmm. to land at home.
Yes.
But it's amazing that people, and I'm one of them. So let me just say this. I'm not a conspiracy person. So as a flight attendant at the time of 9/11, I had just gotten home from a European trip and I'd mm-hmm. been the purser. So if anybody had thought that there were going to be Arabs or anybody else hijacking airplanes, then the FAA did know about this.
Mm-hmm.
So did many government agencies. They didn't tell us, or you know, we could have stopped them. But here I come into book five.
Mm-hmm.
Lo and behold, people actually printed off the real passenger list, the manifest.
Wow.
And guess what? There were no Arabs on those planes. There were no Arab names on those airplanes.
Hmm.
Then found out that the FBI actually had a half a dozen people originally that they claimed were on the manifest. Well, there's only one way you can get on the manifest. That is if you and your luggage are on the plane.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's it. They can't just put any old name there that's not on the plane, because your luggage and you are matched.
Right.
And, you know, and there's a final printout. That's one of the things that people don't realize. Once we tell you welcome aboard and you find your seat,
mm-hmm.
they count all those ticket stubs. Remember, the boarding passes at that time had a little 2 or 3 inch stub, and they'd pull those off and then they could, you know, count those and double count those
sure.
to see who was, make sure everybody was on the list that was should have been on the list. Then they printed it out and then they'd come and give it to us at the front door. Here's all your passengers. And the reason they do that is because that manifest tells us if you're diabetic,
mm-hmm.
if you, you know, travel,
yeah.
you have health issues,
sure.
if you're a vegetarian, you have a special meal, you need a wheelchair when you land. Sometimes people can walk on the plane at their start point, but by the time they've been sitting, this is true with elderly people a lot, if they've been sitting 5 or 6 hours, they know they're going to mm-hmm. be so stiff they need a wheelchair.
Right.
So there's information like that on there.
Holy
and,
cow.
Yeah, that is a mind blower that the FBI immediately was at most of the airports, and that was their main concern, is that nobody would print those real manifests off.
Oh,
that was
wow. That's a huge eye-opener. The I remember you saying the amount of Raytheon employees mm-hmm. that were on those planes that had a lot of information about weapons systems and all kinds of different things. It was very interesting to see who was on the flights and who wasn't, apparently, from the manifesto. And, you know, that this day is just so hard for everybody. And I know it just leaves you with that gut punch because, you know, these people died. And because I care so much about those people, I want to know the truth. And that gives me every reason in the world to want to pursue the truth. We're going to head to a break. We'll be right back, more with Rebecca Roth. Her book series, you have to read her book series. I'm not kidding. It's been on my must read list since 2015. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. And of course, remembering back 19 years, you know, I've been doing a 9/11 show since I've been on the air. We've been talking about it every 9/11 that we could have. And let me tell you, the more we learn about it, the more horrific it gets in the way of us learning the truth. We're in our own COVID-19 moment right now where we need to start waking up. and realizing, as we've talked about on this show from the beginning, we were telling you this is all a lie from the last week of January. I remember the first show we did on it, and I said, they're setting this up, and we're going to be thrown into these lies. And I never realized how big they were going to make the lie and how pervasive this would become with all the masks and everything else. But looking back on 9/11, we should have seen some of these things. And as we walked into this hour, Rebecca Roth's with me, and she wrote My Methodical Illusion, one of my most favorite interviews on the air, and still is to this day, and even today, is that the people on the ground saw something much different fly into those towers. They saw a military plane they didn't see all the windows. It didn't look like a commercial craft. And I played a lot of those witnesses on the ground because I want people to realize how much information has been excluded from the media after that day. But there's so many different things. So I have Rebecca Roth on. She's working on her fifth book. And let me ask you this, Rebecca. Are there a couple of things that still stand out to you, and even in new pieces of evidence, because you've had so many more people reveal things to you and come to you, retired from intelligence or retired, you know, pilots and all these different people chiming in on this. Are there a couple of things that are just mind blowing? You just can't believe that you've got, you know, these pieces to this.
You know, when I first started looking into this, I tried to make the official story work. I found the hijackers, about 10 of them were still alive. And mm-hmm. they're, you know, Mohammed Atta's parents both talked to him after 9/11. Wow. They both separately, his mother and his father, both told the media, reporters that were contacting them, that he was an employee with the Israeli Mossad.
Ooh.
He was fluent in Hebrew and Arabic. So... I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But there's another interesting connection. When Amy Sweeney called in from the first flight, Flight 11, she contacted her supervisor on the ground in Boston at the airport, and she said that the one hijacker was in 9B. And that guy was an Israeli Mossad special operations guy. It's called Sayeret Matkal. That may mm-hmm. not be the correct Hebrew pronunciation, mm-hmm. but he's like a Jack Bauer kind of character. He's mm-hmm. a super guy. He's a highly trained assassin. He was also trained as a hostage rescue person for an anti-hijacking specialty Jeez. That he had. Now, wow. we were led to believe through the official story, through nothing that came out of the plane, really, that he died.
Mm-hmm.
But when you, what I'm finding now is you should always look where you're not supposed to look.
Gotcha.
And so we have to look at people like the two flight attendants up front. They were stabbed, and he was stabbed. And supposedly killed, but mm-hmm. actually, in actuality, there were no Arabs on the real passenger manifest, so they quite possibly were the ones that
did this. Wow.
And so that really blew my mind, because I thought it was a remote control takeover,
mm-hmm.
and I realized that, you know, that's the case. But then when these pilots started working with me, they're like, oh, no, the captains had to have been involved in this. I'm like, oh, really? Yeah, in order to steer these airplanes into those hangars, they had to be involved. And that would explain why they didn't squawk the hijack code. And none of the FAA protocols for hijacking were ever followed. And that's the only thing that makes sense, because they weren't in a real hijacking. The phone calls all had to be made on the ground.
Yeah, they were.
And there was
clear.
Another thing that happened. Betty Ong, who was also on the first flight, she called in about 18 minutes after takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't tell if she called on an airphone or a cell phone. But here, on a American Airlines 767, their airphones didn't reach to the jump seat at 3 right. Those were for passengers, not for us. We're supposed to sit on our hands for takeoff and landing. Jeez. So we can get you out of the door, right?
Right, right.
And we're not supposed to sit there on the phone. But hijack protocol also said, unless you're the flight attendant directly dealing with the hijacker, and she also referred to the hijacker only as one he.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, two flight attendants referring to one man, 9B, the Israeli guy, and the other gal was just referring to him as a he. There weren't four or five Arabs or any. No, where did that come from? I don't know. Came from the media is where it came from.
Right.
And the that whole story then was created just like the airplane going into the building. Before I forget, because of the censorship on YouTube and social media, as you know, mm-hmm. I opened a membership website. It's very inexpensive. I do a daily show about just the news and what's going on, yeah, and covered the COVID thing really well. About an hour show every day. It's called Behind the Galley Curtain.
Behind the Galley Curtain. I'm going to be talking about that more.
Okay. Uh-huh. And in there, I had just found a newly released video that a young gentleman took from a neighboring building. You could see both towers. You could see the explosion. Whoa. And he said it was a bomb. But there were more than a dozen young 20-somethings up there watching this. And they were blown away. They were seeing people jump out of the North Tower. That was the first one hit. So obviously that would be the first one be on fire the longest, right? They were like, whoa, but nobody saw an airplane. But he was like, oh, no, that was no plane. That was a bomb. That building just exploded. We'd have seen an airplane, and they were real close.
Jeez.
I mean, it's an amazing video. It was released last month, and I about broke my legs getting to my computer.
I'll download
it. I'm like, I got to have this, man. Oh. And put it in there, and it's in a blog post in my membership page because there was no aircraft there. Because I know in order for these phone calls to be made, mm-hmm, they had to be made on the ground. And then Betty Young told me one other thing. You might remember this. I think I told you early on. She said that he had sprayed pepper spray or mace in business class, and they couldn't breathe up there.
Right.
But a couple of years ago, you might remember this, there was a Hawaiian Airlines flight. I think it went from Oakland, California to Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And somebody had pepper spray or mace in their carry-on in the overhead bin, and it got squished and it started spraying
the
airplane. Half the crew and a whole bunch of passengers ended up being put in the hospital on landing in Hawaii. That's the effect Betty would have had at door 3 right.
You're right.
So when you get back to these FAA protocols, the flight attendant, if she wasn't dealing with the hijacker directly, she was sitting in her jump seat, you should sit down and not draw attention to yourself, cover your uniform mm-hmm. with a coat or blanket, mm-hmm. go to sleep, fake asleep. Again, a passenger row, they had 100 empty seats that day, but she ran and sat on her jump seat in her full uniform on a telephone. Nobody would do that in a real hijacking.
Ooh, that's so important to know.
And the fact that she said we can't breathe in business, if you spray stuff like that, it's in a pressurized cabin, it's everywhere.
Right.
It would have been in the cockpit. It would have been affecting the hijacker.
You would have heard people coughing, right? You would have heard coughing. Oh, she wouldn't have been able to breathe through the phone call, but she kept repeating the same lines too. So probably scripted.
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. I may never know.
Yeah, I mean,
unless I find her and have a conversation, I may never know how that was presented to them.
I'll never forget CC Lyle's phone call at the very end. Let me play this. It's only 10 seconds, and it's you'll hear a female voice say, "You did great." Okay, listen up. Here we go.
I hope to be able to see your face again, baby.
You did great. I hope everybody could hear that. The recording is not fantastic, but you can hear somebody audibly say, "You did great."
Yeah. So there was somebody there that was doing that kind of stuff, whether it was crew members or passengers that were last minute. And in book 5, I think it's all going to be pretty well exposed. So you know that if people are interested in this subject, mm-hmm. if you become a member at the Behind the Galley Curtain, you also get a 20% discount on autographed books. So you can use that. And it's cheapest to buy them all through the autographed and personalized because it's just cheaper than Amazon.
Wow. I know you have methodical illusion, methodical deception, methodical exposure, methodical conclusion. You're working on the fifth one right now. And let me just tell you, you've had so much more information. This thing keeps unraveling, and it's worse than I think anyone could ever, ever realize. You'd also talk about the planes that probably had to have landed in order for the phone calls to be made and for everything to shake out. These planes would have landed at an Air Force base that was cleared out maybe a few days before, and none of the staff could figure out why they were being moved to hotels.
Well, that's true. It was actually a reserve base, a logistics base. And when National Guard was activated sometime that morning after the second tower supposedly was hit. Mm-hmm. When they showed up at the base for active duty, because they were just called up and you're activated, they couldn't get on the base. It had been, they were told it had been evacuated. They weren't allowed on, and they were put up in hotels and motels around that area.
Right before 9/11. And people on the ground saw a plane landing, a commercial flight, and thought that was strange, right?
Well, yeah. And now I flew a lot of military airlift command flights. I started flying at the end of the Vietnam War. So throughout my whole career, it was some of the best flying because we'd have long layovers and different places. So it was kind of fun. But we flew our commercial planes into Air Force bases. It is not uncommon if you're around an Air Force base to see commercial planes come in. We do troop movements for drills. Every year we'd have drills in like South Korea and different places and different things happening. So you would see when we did the Gulf Wars, we were using our 747s.
Right.
To transport troops and stuff. So what this FBI person told me was when she saw it at the time, not knowing anything until she'd heard an interview and went, oh my gosh, that's what I saw. But she said at the time, I just thought, oh, some bigwigs must be coming in from the Pentagon because sometimes they travel
that
way.
Sure.
Or, you know, some troops or whatever.
And this was 20 minutes after. This was 20 minutes after takeoff, right? Which would have put it.
The Air Force base is named Westover Air Force Base, and it's by Springfield or Chicopee, Massachusetts. The very first phone call came in about 18 minutes after takeoff from Boston's Logan. So in order to make that phone call, they had to be on the ground.
Yeah.
And another thing that was interesting about those two, that first flight there, there were two flight attendants that called. So I really got into studying that one because I knew what the protocol was. I knew what they should have been saying, what was the most important thing. Neither one of them followed protocol. Neither one of them told them, you know, the most important thing would have been if somebody breached the cockpit, how it happened. And neither one of those gals said that. And Betty Ong was sitting about 160 feet away from the cockpit.
Right.
Jeez. So, you know, there's a couple curtains there.
Right.
And both of them only said he.
And didn't they say upstairs because and there was no upstairs in those planes. The likelihood of it being in a hangar, they were brought into a hangar and they thought they might have been part of a drill. Maybe.
That's possible. It's hard to say what they were told if they were brought into it in some fashion or what. We may never know.
We're going to come right back. We're going to head off to a break. And I want to come right back and talk a little bit more. You've got about 20 seconds, though. Go.
Well, I don't know what I should say. In
that I love Rebecca. We'll be right back. I love to put people on the spot. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show, and we'll be talking some more truth bombs. Here we go, coming up. Don't go anywhere. Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com. Be right back.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Hi there. Welcome back. I have Rebecca Roth on. I'm so happy she could join me here on 9/11, the anniversary of 9/11. Somber anniversary, actually, 19 years later. I can't believe it's been 19 years. You know, I didn't question much for the first 9 or 10. And then I started really questioning things. And I wonder, you know, what that catalyst is for some people. What it is. Is it the towers? Is it the planes? I mean, there's just so many arms of this thing. And Rebecca has, she's working on the fifth book. There are four books out. Where she wrote them in fiction, and I actually think it's easier to digest, like she said, in fiction, and point out so many things. And it actually connected the dots way more for me than the narrative story that we've all been told. So I really appreciate that. By the way, make sure and go over to Balance of Nature and order up balanceofnature.com. Put in the code Kate, K-A-T-E, and you can get 35% off and free shipping. This is a wonderful supplement you should be taking. This is one thing you do have control over. Some of the things we're talking about in today's show, we might not, but we can certainly learn the truth. And we need to right now while the whole COVID lie is going on so that we can understand we're in another one of those moments where they're about to change us forever. And if we do not stop it, then things will get put into place just like they did for 9/11, like the Patriot Act and all of these things that actually that curtail our liberty so much so it's scary. And I think as you have unwound this ball of yarn and you are trying to go through all the details of this, Rebecca, and by the way, you can actually subscribe to her show, Behind the Galley Curtain. I really suggest you do this because she's a tremendous researcher. Behind the Galley Curtain on YouTube. The pieces just keep getting bigger and bigger. And so I cannot wait to hear more about some of the pieces you've discovered, Rebecca, because I think we're just hitting the tip of the iceberg in this. This has so many tentacles. I don't think people realize this was probably being planned for about a decade. And I think it's insane how many tentacles there are and how many things, because even talking about the planes that probably or could have landed at that reserve base, you know, are the planes still in motion? Are they still in action right now? Did they refurb the planes? I mean, my gosh, there's so much to this. If those people on the ground, saw what they saw and that was military planes going into the towers, what happened to those flights, right? It's just so much.
True. It is. Okay. First, let me, let you know, my I don't have a YouTube channel. There's one up there, but I got my new YouTube channel nuked when I showed the Freedom of Information Act data. I've got a terabyte of government data.
Wow!
And
wow.
When I showed how, and this is in the back of the second book, The Methodical Deception.
Okay.
That they uploaded the a voice file, an MP3 file, to the FAA headquarters in Washington, D.C., a file that was titled terrorist, which was not a term we used in aviation at all. It would have been a hijacker.
Right.
But they uploaded this MP3 file at 6:37 a.m. That flight took off at 1:01.
Ooh.
And it was the voice file of supposedly they said Mohammed Atta, but we now know he lived through this, and he wasn't on board. He wasn't on the manifest either. So it was a file that said, we have some plans. We're going back to the airport. Now, I have run this by several people from many Middle Eastern countries.
Okay.
Because I have a copy of it. Right. And they tell me it's a Hebrew accent.
That's interesting.
And what's interesting is that they had this labeled, copyrighted, and uploaded to the FAA headquarters in Washington, D.C.'s computer files, because it's meta tagged with the time and the date. They had that an hour and a half before the plane took off. And when I showed that on my YouTube channel, I had 2.5 years of 9/11 mainly YouTubes. Most of those audios are still on my SoundCloud or Spreaker. Right. There's all the audios on Spreaker too. But yeah, they just nuked my channel. I didn't get an email. I didn't get a copyright strike. I didn't get anything. It just, boom, it was all gone. Jeez. And then I opened up a membership site, which is a .com, which is behindthegalleycurtain.com, where you can come in and join. It was $9.11 a month, or you can get it. It's a 30% discount now, so you can get it for $52 a year, and that's about $6 a month. Mm-hmm. No commercials, and they do kind of a news show every day. And then there's other things in there too about 9/11 and where I put things like this video I just found. I was just amazed at this video. But you can understand why this kid who was being told by the media that a plane went through the South Tower, that he watched it and he didn't, there was no plane there. And he was really close on from there on a rooftop.
Wow.
And so they didn't hear a plane. They didn't see a plane. Nobody with him. There was at least a dozen of these young kids there. And so he went out, and as he's walking around, the media start telling people this was a plane hit the South Tower and a plane that hit the North Tower. And he's like, no, it was bombs. I was watching it. I saw it blow up. And he held that until just this July. He didn't. Can you understand why?
Yeah.
Because people and people fear our government, and rightly so. They should, as they don't want this kind of truth coming out. And I think that that's important to know. And another thing, through this whole FBI and the coup against President Trump, I learned this. I didn't know this at the time, but I found at least three different 302s, which are FBI interview notes from a 4.5 minute taped conversation. Now, you wouldn't think it would be interpreted any way differently mm-hmm. in each time, mm-hmm. but then they would add this to the Zachariah Massawi, who they claimed was the 20th hijacker.
Right.
He also traces back to Nick Berg, who was supposedly a Jewish boy from, I think he was in Pennsylvania somewhere, a mm-hmm. Very religious Jewish boy who was in Norman, Oklahoma, where Zachariah Massawi was, and they found his email and his email password on Zachariah Massawi's computer. So they connected, but he was Mossad, and he went to Iraq during mm-hmm. the middle of the war, trying to build cell towers and all that, and supposedly was beheaded. And it was a very poorly done beheading video
right.
that most people thought was totally fake. But again, the 20th hijacker connects with Israeli Mossad person. Nick Berg.
Wow. I remember Nick Berg. Yeah.
What are the chances? So there's all these connections, but I learned that there should only be one 302. And I found three different ones for Betty Ong where they took away. She said, "We're up in the air. I don't know. We might be hijacked." They took "we're up in the air" out, because we wouldn't say that. Hijacking only takes place in the air. If it took place on the ground, we'd open the door and get you out.
Right. Yeah.
So, there was a lot of things like he stood upstairs. That's not in some of them. They took and moved from he to a they in one of them. So there's several different renditions of a 4.5 minute tape recording by the FBI. But now, thanks to President Trump and the coup, I really realized that, wait a minute, there shouldn't be more than one. I found a secondary 302, which is Mark Bingham. He's the guy who called in from Flight 93 and said, he called his mother, who was also a United flight attendant. Mm-hmm. "Mom, this is Mark Bingham," gave his first and last name, which everybody thought was really weird.
That is really weird. It really
well,
is.
I found another 302 that's even weirder than that, where there's a story where these terrorist hijackers go up the aisle and they bump into some woman's arm and she gives them heck and they give her heck back. And then they turn around and face the coach passengers. Now, keep in mind, where we're only like 30 people there. So they face this mostly empty cabin because it has seats 180-ish. And this is according to the secondary 302 on Mark Bingham, I found.
Sure.
He puts his hand up in a Hitler salute and says, "Heil Saddam, Heil Hussein, Hussein will reign."
What?
Now, that's crazy. I think that came out for the Zachariah Massawi trial's purpose. I think that's when that one came out. But the FBI keeps building fake evidence. And what do we know about the FBI thanks to President Trump? Kevin Kleinsmith. Now, Carter Page was a CIA asset. So Carter Page, and he also was an FBI informant. He's been that way forever. He was naval intelligence. They all connect.
Right.
And so they used Carter Page, but when Kevin Kleinsmith, the FBI attorney, contacted the CIA to find, "Is he one of your guys?" Well, he changed the evidence then. He changed the wording. So that's why he's going down, because he changed that, because they CIA knew that Carter Page was a their asset. And the FBI attorney decided, no, we've got to have a reason to get the FISA. So it's not like the FBI to switch, change, and create evidence, because they have been doing it for a very long time, including 9/11.
Jeez.
So they're part of the cleanup crew in a sense.
Right.
So what happened? Let me tell you this. So how everything connects, man, I've found so many papers and read through so many. And luckily, I still have a pretty good memory for this stuff. But Brian Sweeney was a Miramar Top Gun trained. You remember the movie?
Yeah.
Top Gun trained pilot in Miramar, San Diego, California. And he had fought over in that first Gulf War. And so according to the FAA, where they claim the plane was, now we know it's on the ground at Westover, but according to this, this makes this story even crazier. They're over the Hudson River between 5,000 and 7,000 feet, and he's on the left side of the aircraft looking at Liberty International Airport in Newark and the Newark Harbor. And if you look out the right side of the, look outside the right side of the airplane, you'll see the Manhattan skyline. They were headed up the Hudson River and to the South Tower. And then he tells his mom, he thinks they're over Ohio. And then he says to his mom, "I think I'm going to go up and try to take over the cockpit." That's the Let's Roll Flight 93 scene. So when I started to see this kind of stuff,
right.
The other guy that called in from that flight, two passengers called in. They both worked for military industrial complex corporations.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy, he calls his father, and this is just a few minutes before their supposed impact, and he doesn't know where he's at. Now, keep in mind, when we make the announcement, turn off your electronic devices,
mm-hmm.
we're at 10,000 feet.
Okay.
You're not very far off the ground, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not at 30 or 35 or 39. You're at 10,000 feet. That's when that automatically comes on. We tell you to turn off your electronic devices, keep them turned off and stow until you're in the terminal.
Okay.
So this plane is between 5,000 and 7,000. The reason I say that is because the FAA articles that I have in the FOIA data have it listed everywhere between 5,000 and 7,000. There, it's all this fake radar.
Jeez.
It's just bizarre. It's just fake stuff. And so you can only be in one place at one time, by the way, or we'd have people crashing into each other in the air,
mm-hmm.
especially in a busy airspace like around Newark, JFK and LaGuardia and Teterboro's in there too. So no, you just can't not know where this plane is. So jeez. That made no sense at all. But so on the right side of the plane where Peter Hansen is, he calls his dad and he tells his dad he thinks they're going to fly to Chicago. Well, they're almost on the ground. They're 5,000 feet.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
They're going to fly them into a building.
That doesn't
Nobody
make sense.
Would think that. Nobody would think that before 9/11. No one would have think that. So it made me, well, these guys have been briefed. They had been briefed. And then he tells his dad, the hijackers who didn't speak English and weren't on the plane
mm-hmm.
told him that they were going to take him to Chicago, fly him into a building. Okay, how does that work?
Yeah.
They're not on the plane and they don't speak English, even the ones that they...
But he knows what they just said.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that. But he also said they were going to hijack 8 airplanes.
Okay.
How did he know that? I mean, why would a guy who can't speak English go pick this guy out and tell him this craziness? That's just bizarre. Well, I started finding stuff like that, and I'm like, this is going to be like a made-for-TV movie. And lo and behold, they made a movie, Flight 93.
Yes, you know they
why?
Did.
Because it was done so poorly. It was so poorly done. They had 33 passengers on board. Half of those were last-minute additions. And of those 16 or so, I think 11 or 12 made phone calls.
Man, oh man. And you couldn't have a cell phone call high up in the air. You could maybe on an airphone, and could you be on an airphone for an extended period of time on a phone call?
Nah, probably not. They were really poor. That's why they took them off right away. I mean, they were expensive. Mm-hmm. You had to, this was another thing that Ted Olson, Barbara Olson's husband said. Well, she called 3 or 4 times. He couldn't remember. And she called collect from her cell phone. Well, you can't do that. Never could.
Right.
And then he said, well, she called collect from an airphone. You couldn't do that either.
Right.
So there's two lies, bingo, from the Solicitor General. And now check this out. He was the attorney for the Israeli spy, Jonathan Pollard.
What?
Yeah, Ted Olson. There's so many connections.
So many.
It's so bizarre. Now, Barbara Olson was an attorney, and she went through to the Ben Cardoza mm-hmm. Law School at Yeshiva University in New York, which is an Orthodox Jewish school.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who else went to that law school? The sister of Chick Burlingame, the captain on Flight 77 that supposedly went into the Pentagon.
What?
Oh, what are the chances?
Can you? We're out of time, and I just wish we had another hour. I have to have you back. That's
okay. Well, you can do that. You have my connection.
Oh my gosh! Behind the galleycurtain.com.
Uh huh.
Okay, behindthegalleycurtain.com.
And a good place to get the books is readroth.com. If you just want to buy the books, it goes right to the store.
Readroth.com. There's so many things like this in her books. I couldn't put them down. Okay. Be faithful. Be fearless. See you next week. Be right back. In fact, I'll be back on Monday. Rebecca, stay on. I want to talk to you. I'll see everybody. Man, oh man. I hope everybody's reeling from today's show like I am. And everybody have a great weekend. KateDallyRadio.com.